Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 410. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
We're approaching 420. It's going to happen one day.
We are.
I'm skipping that show.
Jeff's not skipping that show. He's all in.
I'm already there.
It should just be a like Jeff-centric podcast where he's the host and we just let him like cry openly about Breath of the Wild or something like that.
It's called 4 hours.
And then...
It's a 4 hour podcast of Jeff just talking about Breath of the Wild.
Right, and it's crying. Really just a lot of him grunting and heaving with maybe occasional some vaguely masturbatory sounds in there and then it just ends. Like there's no like format or anything, it just dives. Like all right,
well
that was my YouTube channel.
So Jeff is here, as is Pete.
Yeah.
And we now have the most beautiful idea for our 420th episode. Hey, there's not much going on in the way of video game news, but we've been playing some games, maybe.
Sure.
Have we? Well, I have. None of them are new, but I have.
I played a new game. But
ooh.
What have you played?
Tell us about your new game.
I played that Pokemon mobile game.
Oh, no.
No, new. Never mind.
The blocky one.
Yeah, the Pokemon Quest.
Quest, that's it.
It's... So, My attention span for mobile games is very small and short. So they tend to only last about 3 or 4 days before I get bored. But for those 3 or 4 days, it was actually pretty fun. Like, it's not... It's grindy, but there's not any way to monetarily boost it. It's just kind of like... So the game basically is very similar to those Pokemon Dungeon Crawler games. So you play as the Pokemon.
The Mystery Dungeon?
Yeah.
Games? Okay.
And you collect a team. Then it sort of auto-scrolls you through this level where they'll battle the random Pokemon that show up and you press buttons to, like, use their special moves and stuff like that. Like, and they have they recharge and stuff, so, like, you want to time them properly and stuff like that. And then you get, like, loot at the end, and you can equip the loot. I mean, it's basically like blue blocks for health and red blocks for attack power kind of thing. And there are little other adjustment things that are like, hey, you can shrink the recharge time on your special move by 10% and stuff like that. But
that's what those like gems that you pick up, right? Or whatever they are. Yeah,
everything that you get at the end of a level and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was, it's free, and every day you get 50 more, like, Pokemon tickets or whatever, and everything only costs 50 tickets, so...
Oh.
Anything that you need, like, there's, like, you can buy, like, I think if you spend real money, then you can get, like, special... like a rare Pokemon or something, like if you want somebody in particular or something like that. But otherwise, like, hey, I need to expand my inventory. It's like, all right, well, that's only 50 tickets or whatever. It's like, oh, I need to expand my base so that way I can hold more Pokemon. All right, well, that's 50 tickets. And you complete challenges and stuff so fast that, like, I have 450 tickets right now. So, like, and I've only spent tickets once to expand my inventory, so... Like, in terms of mobile game, like, not bullshit, it could be a lot worse.
Yeah. Are you playing it on your phone?
Yes. I know it's available on Switch as well, but...
Yeah, I wonder if I'd enjoy it more on my phone, because, like, it really is, when I played it on the Switch, I felt very much like, I should be playing this on my phone.
Yeah, I don't know why they put it out on Switch. I think the only reason is because you can transfer Pokemon that you've caught in Pokemon Go.
Okay.
To this game, there's a button that says transfer on in the game, and I have yet to do like press it or see what it does because I assumed it had to do with Pokemon Go. and I don't play Pokemon Go, so I don't have anything to transfer. But yeah, I mean, in terms of time wasters, it was fun. I haven't played it in a day or two, but you know, if you're looking for something to kill a little time with, on the trainer, you know, during a commute or something, it's worth it, I think.
That's not bad.
There's like eight. It sort of does the Mario, Super Mario level style where it's like world 1-1 and -2, -3. I'm like up to world 4 or whatever. And that's when like the power levels required to win jump exponentially to where I can see where people were like, oh, so this is where the free to play kicks in. But there's still no real way to buy your way out from what I've seen.
Okay.
That's all I've played this week.
Well, I said I've only played old games, but I have played two new games, and one of them is a mobile game.
You just fucking lied to us, Chris.
Yeah, I completely forgot.
Liar who lies
and
about.
And I even told you guys about it before the show in the prep email.
I didn't read that at all.
And then you forgot.
Yeah, and I completely forgot. The only good thing to come out of that Jurassic World sequel is this game called Jurassic World Alive.
That's not the Jurassic Park game I thought you were going to mention.
No, so you probably thought I was talking about the park building game, right?
Yeah, Evolution, which looked
it's not
crazy
good.
And I've heard is bad. So.
Yeah, that one I've heard is terrible. But Jurassic Park Alive is a phone game, mobile game, that is basically what Pokemon Go should have been when it launched.
So it's good?
If you like the idea of like going out walking around, catching dinosaurs, and having plenty of stuff to like do, it's a way more complete package. So, premise is very similar to Pokemon Go, but instead of like you catching a dinosaur by like throwing a ball out, basically you have a drone. So like the map comes up just like in Pokemon Go, and there's like dinosaurs on it. You click the dinosaur and it brings you into this like capture phase. And then you have a drone that you activate by using your finger, and you aim at a target on it and you shoot darts at it. And what you're doing is gathering DNA so that in your lab you can create dinosaurs. And so they cost a certain amount of DNA. So 50, 100, depending upon like, you know, how rare they are. Like common ones are like you need like 50 DNA. And
if you want a T-Rex, man, you gotta pay real money for that shit.
No, I mean T-Rex is like 200.
Is that a lot? Like what's the scale? Like is it
so like 50 is like where the common ones are at. Rare are they're uncommon. They're like 100, and then there's like 150 tier, and then there's 200, which seems to be like the epic dinosaurs. And your darts don't work as good as the tiers go up. So, like a T-Rex is in the epic category. You're only going to be getting like maybe 7 or 8 per direct hit on it. So it's going to take more darts and more time. You're going to need to see more T-Rexes out there. I haven't had to pay money at all. There's no reason to, because unlike Pokemon Go, there are supply depots everywhere. My neighborhood, which has... So if I want to go get a Pokestop, I have to go to the post office, which is 5 minutes away from my house. There are supply drops all over my neighborhood. My street has, like, I can go to my front door and tag a supply drop. And if I walk around my neighborhood, there's, like, you know, 40 or 50 of them just in my neighborhood. There's dinosaurs everywhere, too, unlike Pokemon Go, like, if you're in the suburbs or,
yeah, it's real rough.
Like, rural areas. There's fucking nothing. like Pokemon Go is great when I go like into the city. It's fucking awesome, but there's nothing like here that it's. I'm almost out of Pokeballs. Like,
right?
It never like I'm always out of supplies with this. Like, one, there is every 6 hours you get a personal supply drop that comes directly to you, so you don't have to be near a supply drop, and you normally get like 15 or 20 darts. And some coins, and the coins go towards upgrading your dinosaurs, and I think you get like a couple like dollars, like Jurassic Park dollars or whatever. And what I mean by dollars there is like each one is worth like a penny. So like I have like I have like $1.03 now.
Ooh.
And to get anything you need like $20. Yeah.
Jeez.
So it's like to get anything big, but I haven't found any reason to buy them at all because I always have enough darts. And I don't really like, there's plenty of dinosaurs around, but the part that's really cool about it is that those dinosaurs can do shit. Like you then create a team of 8 and you hit the battle button and it will match you with other players. And it'll select 4 of your 8 that are on your team and you'll battle your dinosaurs against each other. And the dinosaurs each have like different moves and their special moves. But it's not like with Pokemon Go where it's like, oh, you have to go to the gym to do a battle.
Yeah, it's just like let me join a battle.
Yeah, like, I'm at my kitchen table and like I'm just like battling people with my dinosaurs. And if you win, you get like it's called an incubator, but in it has rare DNA, some coins, and some darts. And that DNA goes to like either new dinosaurs or goes to help, you know, level up your old dinosaurs you already have. So you're always building. So there's a reason for you to battle and you can do it at any point. So it's like, all right, well, I'm not going anywhere. So there's not going to be much opportunity for me to catch dinosaurs, but I can like get shit for, I can still play the game. Like it's still a game. that's what I really like about it is like the battling and figuring out like the strategy going up against them. Like, hey, do I throw out my Velociraptor, which only has 735 hit points, against this fucking like Allosaurus, which is like 1600, but my Velociraptor is faster does way more damage. Yeah. So it's like, there's like cool strategies to it. And I've been having a lot of fun with that. And then it has like that Pokemon Go aspect where, you know, you're going out, walking around and catching shit.
Sounds pretty cool. Sounds like a good like clone of that.
Yeah. Thing, you know? It's the exact same type of thing, but they did almost everything better. So, and like who the fuck doesn't like dinosaurs? So,
right.
Like it's, I mean, you know, who doesn't like Pokemon either? Like they're cute little monsters, but dinosaurs are pretty cool. So, and the other new-ish game I played, I don't know if we talked about it last week. It's this game called Dream Alone. I think we might have talked about it after the show ended. It is a 2D platformer. Think Limbo, like black and white.
Okay.
There's no actual combat, so it's a puzzle platformer. Very similar to Limbo in that. Except your little guy has special powers where he can either illuminate things, because the game gets really dark on some levels, and you'll need like this flashlight thing. Or he can shift dimensions where different things are happening in the world. So like you may need to shift dimensions to get over a gap or climb up the side of a mountain or something. It's pretty brutal in its deaths, kind of like Limbo in that, like where this poor little kid dies and like there's just blood splatter all over and he dies in some pretty gruesome ways. Like I guess cut in half by like Skye's coming down or gets impaled on giant sticks and like pits and gets attacked by giant spiders and cockroaches. And I am stuck on it. I haven't been able to progress. I'm not sure if it's a bug or not. And nobody that I've seen play it has gotten as far as I am in the game either. So,
oh, this is the game that you weren't allowed to talk about last week.
Yeah, cause it wasn't quite out yet.
So. That sucks.
But it's out on Switch. I think it's out on everything. It's Switch, PS4, Xbox One. I'm planning on PC right now. But it has a really cool aesthetic. It's a little too dark, I think. And it has like this film grain to it as well, like an old film. So when it's really dark, it makes it really hard to see your black and white character sometimes. But for the most part, I'm enjoying it. I think it's a game that, like, if I ever get through it, I might recommend to Jeff. it definitely seems like something he'd like. And Tony, you like Limbo, so
yeah,
might be something.
What's the name of it again?
Dream Alone. Okay. It's by a German developer, which is why I think the PR guy is having trouble getting an answer for me. Because
he doesn't speak German.
I don't know. But he was like, I apologize. I am trying to get you an answer, but I guess they haven't been very communicative with their PR team here in the United States. So, but it's pretty cool. Tony, what have you been playing?
I've been playing lots of Europa Universalis 4 because I know Jeff loves it when I talk about this game.
Yeah,
sexiest of games.
Is it time for me to go grab a beer?
No, you don't need to get a beer. You need to listen to what I have to say. No, I actually don't have that much to say on it. It's still. I put like 36 hours in the past couple weeks, and I've taken my English empire. I've made it into Great Britain. I've taken all of the islands. I formed the 13 colonies. Interestingly, I did it on Independence Day. I thought that was hilarious. Ask your question.
No, it wasn't a question. I'm just agreeing with you that it's pretty funny.
Yeah, no, it's a really entertaining game, and now I'm getting to the point where my empire is global, and I'm having to like track stuff happening all over the place, and now it's getting hard. It's why I kind of like playing games that are real-time pausable. You're just like, okay, there's something going on over there. Pause. Let me go see what it is and go check it out.
Yeah.
It's the thing that always bothered me about RTS games, where there's so much going on the screen, and yet it just keeps going, and if you missed it, you missed it. You can't really see what's happening. So this game, you can also like slow down time. So if you're like in a like an era where nothing's happening, you can make the time go by really fast. Like you're recovering from a war, or you're like waiting for something to finish building or whatever, and you just want the time to go fast, you just turn the clock up. Or if you just started a war and like armies are moving around, you're trying to figure out, what am I going to do? What are they doing? Then you can turn the time down so that it moves really slowly, like day by day, which makes it easier to do stuff. But I'm playing obsessively as my English empire gets bigger. I'm starting to enjoy it more. Forming Great Britain was a nice turning point. Also, I may have, I think last week I said something about letting my holdings in France get taken over because I couldn't stop my enemies. I was able to, the diplomacy model in the game is really good. So I was able to make this like big anti-French coalition and take them all back.
As you do.
Yeah. So, you know, France went to war with me and they're like, oh, why is Austria invading? Oh, why are these troops coming in from Spain? What's happening to me? And I didn't actually send in any troops of my own.
It's like, I will have my friends fight my battles for me.
So I sit down. I sit out off the coast because I'm England. I have a very big navy, and I just wait for my friends to take over the ports and force the French ships to sea and just destroy them all. That's how I contribute.
Oh, so you did do something.
Oh yeah. But mostly, I just eliminated their tiny fleets as they came into my possession. But yeah, I'm having so much fun with it. It's a really good game. It's 5 years old, and they keep having expansions. I think they're up to like 14 now, and they have a 15th expansion coming out this year, focusing on India.
So no Europa Universalis 6 in the works right now,
or 5. The game they're working on right now is it's called Imperator. It's Europa Universalis in basically the Roman era.
Okay.
I'm excited for that, but that doesn't come out till next year. It's on my list of games I absolutely have to play.
I'm sure that Jeff can't wait for
out. The full lowdown on that game.
Oh yeah,
Jeff's game of the year 2019, right there, Imperator.
Jeff, what have you been playing?
Not a whole lot, really. Mostly, I've been playing Hollow Knight.
Yeah,
which we've talked about before, but it's just, I guess one thing I'll say this week, checking in again on this game, like, I think it's a tad too hard. Like, I think the game is like tries to beat you down a little too much.
What?
Maybe Pete wouldn't agree, but I think it is. Like, I'm not stuck actually right now. I just got past like another part. Like, I just got through the Fungal Wastes. And at the end of the Fungal Waste, there's like a hard platforming section out of nowhere, which like it's just like they throw different things that are going to be hard at you throughout. It's like, all right, try to make it through this level with no map, or this boss is going to be hard as fuck, or here's this crazy platforming section where you're doing wall jumping, but there's like thorns sticking out of the wall all over the place. And so like one little wrong move and you're just kind of fucked. And it's always like whenever you die, it's always like, kind of a too long of ways that you have to go to get back to where you were. Like, I hate that. Like, I wish there was more checkpoints, more benches.
What you're mentioning is all stuff that, like, Dark Souls does. I mean, maybe not the platforming, but, like, the bonfire are not necessarily going to be close to where you died.
Not necessarily. But then, again, like, that's another problem I have with the game is, like, they didn't need to borrow that like aspect of like losing your fucking money or whatever. That's like another just annoying thing in this. Like, it's cool in Dark Souls, but here it's just like, oh, we're just gonna do that because Dark Souls did it, and that's like an asshole thing to do. So we're gonna do it. It's like, it's just the game works against like you wanting to enjoy it when it, like, this game could be super enjoyable. It's like really solid mechanics and, as far as I can tell, like a huge, awesome game. Like, I keep going back to it.
I'm with Pete. It sounds exactly like Dark Souls when you describe it that way. It's like this game I really want to enjoy, but can't. It has all these great aspects that I love in games, but they made it too hard.
Yeah, I mean, I can see what you guys are saying. I just feel like in Dark Souls, like, that was like the main attraction of it. Partly it's about fighting hard bosses, you know, like, that's part of the fun of it. And part of it is like just making your way to there. But like, this is just like, I'm playing it, I'm like, this is really good, like 2D Metroid game, but it's like beating me down with this Dark Souls shit on top of it. Like,
the problem is that you are coming at it from
that
Metroidvania angle, where the game is supposed to be about is both. It's not like a really hard.
I think it's hard.
It's a dark. It's well. I'm not saying, like, it's obviously meant to be challenging and difficult, but it is not, like, it is a combination of those two genres and not just a Metroidvania that has obnoxiously hard combat. Like, I think, like, if you come at it being like, oh, I just want a cool platforming thing with some challenges, you are going to be frustrated because it has Dark Souls-level combat and boss battles and stuff.
Yeah, maybe. And it's not just those things, though. It just feels like every area I'm in, there's a reason, like, I really dislike it. But like, there's also so many things in the game, like mechanically, artistically, like so many other things in the game that I'm like drawn to keep playing it. And I will say, like, no matter what, like, this game is a $15 game. It is an absolute fucking steal at $15. It should be full priced. So, like, I have like conflicted emotions about it, but like I said, I'm like, I have lots of games to play, and that's all I keep going back to is Hollow Knight. So there's something there.
Yeah.
Just that it does not seem like a game for me.
It's $15, man. You might be better at it than me, and you might be like how Pete's saying, like, it's not that hard.
Well, no. I mean, if you don't like Dark
Souls, I think it is pretty challenging at points. You
probably will not enjoy this game. Like, the combat ramps up very quickly. The first boss, I would say, is fairly easy, even if you don't really care for Dark Souls.
The second boss is really hard.
Yes.
I thought. Really hard.
What is the second boss in the game? It's been a while since I've played it. I need to play it on Switch. Because it looks awesome.
Anyways.
But like, for $15, maybe it's worth trying. What I would do, Chris, is buy it on Steam.
Okay.
And play it for like an hour and then refund it if you don't like it. Like, you can play up to 2 hours and not really have to worry about it.
I think, you know, you like Metroid-type games, like 2D Metroid games, Chris. Like,
yeah,
the first impression is going to be strong. And I like, it is. Like, it's one of those games, but, like, a huge one of those. It's just like, man, it's got some fucking humps you have to get over. Like, there are just parts of that game where you're just stuck. But the funniest thing, I was stuck in one area forever. This is the last thing I'll say about this. I was stuck in one area forever, and I could not figure out, like, I kept running into these mushrooms every way I went. And I was like, I could tell that you had to like bounce off the mushrooms and I couldn't do it. So I was like, oh, do I need an upgrade? And I kind of just kept like going over the world over and over looking for an upgrade for like literally 5 hours of game time. And then I finally was like, fuck it, I'm looking it up. And then it's just like, instead of trying to do like jumping off the mushrooms, do a downward attack and you'll bounce really high off of them. I'm like, get the fuck out of here,
dude. Oh, yeah, which is ground pound, yeah.
Yeah. Did not, like literally played for, like, 5 hours not realizing I could just done that. Like, so stupid. So, anyways, that's just me being an idiot, I guess, but...
I mean, like, these games, like, I play with guides because I don't... Like, yes, the exploration is fun and stuff, but... Like,
sometimes you can get stuck like that in a really dumb way.
Well,
like,
that, but also like I don't know. The fun of it for me is like the guide is not going to make me good at the combat to like beat the bosses or make me good at the platforming. It's just going to prevent me from having to run in circles for an hour and a half before.
That's supposed to be part of the charm of it, but it's just like
right. But I think you know, in this
me
game,
getting stuck good. There was just like stupidity. I was just like I should have tried. A downward attack. Like,
no, I know, but I mean, like, especially in a game where, like, your map system is dependent on you first finding the map and stuff, like, sometimes I like it, but I also, I like the character, the map maker and stuff, but sometimes I feel like it gets a little bit in its own way when it comes to exploration, because you have to find the map, and then in order to use the map, you have to, like, rest and stuff, like...
To add insult to injury, too, it's like when you find the map guy, if you don't have the money to buy the map, then you have to go run around and kill enemies till you have the money to buy the map. Like that's like the kicker for me. Like if I just found the map room, cool, give me the map.
So it gets a little grindy.
Yeah, like a little bit. I mean,
the maps are never like they aren't super.
I just always, dude. I've had a lot of. Bad like Dark Souls these experiences where I'm like, oh man, I just lost 500, like, you know, and it was like enough to like really help me, you know, and I'm just like, fuck man, fuck this game, like I just get so mad, like if you took that element out this game would be amazing, like I don't know. So
all right, well I will leave it on my possibly get to list.
I think you should buy it for sure, but anyways,
you play anything else, or that was pretty much it?
Yeah, other than like a little bit of tennis, like two players, and that is still really fun with two players.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's fine.
with two players.
Yes. Outside of that, although I won my first match in a Mario Tennis Aces. Nice. Not my first match. So like in July kicked off and the July tournament started. So I won my first match in July, and I'm not playing again the rest of the month. That's it. I unlocked.
You've reached the mountaintop.
Yeah, I will end the month undefeated.
Yeah. And,
I unlocked the character that came out this month, so. But what I have been playing this week was a couple PlayStation games, original PlayStation games. One is Chocobo Racing, which is a, I don't know if you guys remember, like, late 90s, early 2000s, like, everybody had a kart racer.
That's right.
As it should be.
Like, everybody. Like, I mean, there was a Looney Tunes kart racer, a Muppets kart racer, and a Chocobo kart racer. I remember really liking it back when it came out. So I was like, hey, I'm going to give it a go again. One that it's not as good as I remember. It's still pretty fun, but relearning those courses was a bitch because there are a lot of sharp turns that like, you'll hit a wall and you'll be kind of thrown out of the race. It takes a while to kind of learn the course on it, but I've now beaten it 4 times in the last few days because to get all the characters you need to you unlock a character each time you play each time you beat the game. So I just unlocked Cloud.
Ooh.
I'm probably going to play until I unlock Aya from Parasite Eve. And then I might be done with it. But that you have to beat the game 7 times. Fortunately, beating the game, after you beat it the first time, you can skip all the cutscenes, which are longer than the actual races. And beating the game now, it takes me like maybe 20 minutes to blow through the races. So it's a, I don't know, if you like old school PlayStation and old school Final Fantasy, I think it's a pretty cool kart racer, but I can't see many people going back to it. It's a shame they never made like a sequel to it, because I heard that Square was making Chocobo Racing 3D for the 3DS, but they canceled that at some point.
So. Oh yeah, that would have been a good 3DS game.
Yeah. And the other PlayStation game that I actually just started on my Vita. Is another game that I have fond memories of, and I'm wondering if it holds up, is The Legend of Dragoon. You guys remember that one?
No.
Isn't that like the rail shooter game?
No, so it's an RPG.
I thought it was like a shooter, like art, like a mix of shooter RPG, like okay, so, Dragon.
So you're thinking something else? You're thinking Panzer Dragoon.
Okay.
Wrong Dragoon.
Yeah. But Panzer Dragoon is I think it's a Sega game. And yeah, that's like the rail shooter type thing. The Legend of Dragoon was a Sony Computer Entertainment America game that came out after Final Fantasy VII kind of hit big, and it's modeled very much in that way. It's something. It has a cool battle system where it's a little more engaging than just your average turn-based battle system where so you select your attack and then you get like a special like thing that shows up and you have to it's like a quick time event during the attack pattern.
Like the ring in Lost Odyssey?
Yes, kind of like the ring. So something like that, where you're trying to like hit a mark on the screen, and you'll get like you'll do a double attack if you hit it. I'm pretty early in, so I don't know if it's going to hold up to my nostalgia, but so far it seems pretty cool. Like the combat is interesting. You're gaining party members as you kind of go along, and they're all different, and the world seems pretty cool. It's very generic fantasy based, like where it's warring, like warring kingdoms, but everything seems pretty par for the course. And I am going to keep playing that. I might do a blog like journal type thing as I play through it. So we'll see if I do that. But that's everything we've been playing. Jeff has something for us special. Just for
time. Oh, we're cooking something up for you. So this would be our fourth episode of the Perfectly Sane Show game show. Now, if you guys don't remember, what's that? Problems?
No, nothing's wrong, Jeff.
It's been a while since we played it. I'd say probably like almost a year.
Yeah, it's been a little bit.
If you don't remember this, the show has three rounds. Round one is trivia, where the questions are 1 point each. Round two is Metacritic Masters. We have to guess the game based on a Metacritic quote. That's for 2 points each. Round three is Name That Game, where I will play you a YouTube clip of music from a game, and you have to guess what it is, and you could wager whatever points you have earned so far towards winning. You guys got all that?
No.
Remember the rules?
Sure, we'll pick it up each round.
Now, the greatest thing about this latest edition of
there's
the show
no greatest thing. There's nothing.
Is it's longer than ever.
Wow.
So we have, as opposed to the usual 6 to 8 questions in the first round, we have 11.
They're also
going to
pull your toenails out while you're playing. It's gonna be-
The second round, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, where we usually have 3. And in round 3, we have 4, where we usually have 3. So more opportunities for you to lose, Tony.
Oh, I'm going to lose. I don't have any. This is rigged. Rigged.
And to build up the suspense, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call a break before we start. I need to grab a drink.
There right, aren't so, enough drinks to make this into a good game.
So do I need to keep score, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, definitely. As usual. Well, I forgot to mention that part. Just
yeah,
I just...
Score. All right, go get your right. beer. So I will keep score here, where none of us are going to get any points.
I think there will be some that you guys will definitely know, but I'll be right back.
So, how bad do you think we're going to do here?
I'm going to go with very, very bad.
Yeah. I think the last one that we did, and Fozzie was here for that one, might have ended up with, like, Fozzie winning with 3 points. In 3 rounds. We'll see. We have to indulge Jeff every once in a while.
That's right. Otherwise, he won't be on the podcast anymore.
Right. Although I think he might still just show up. Just
sure. Probably. What else would he do on a Thursday night? Honestly. Right.
So did you guys buy anything in the Steam sale that I think ended?
I have
yesterday?
Dead Cells in my cart, but I actually think the split sale is over now. So.
Yeah, it's over. It ended at 1 o'clock today.
Okay, so then no, I didn't buy anything. Just I made it through because it's the first year I've never bought anything.
Just the most recent expansion to EU, Yuppie Universalist, which is kind of why I started playing it. So it's like the first time I've hopped right into a game I bought on the Steam sale, and you know, successful.
You bought that right away, like at the beginning of the Steam sale, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, like day one. Because I saw they had like this bundle deal where it was like 10% more off because I owned all the other things that were in the bundle, so like you don't have to pay for those. Like, oh, extra big discount. Let me add it.
Hey, who doesn't like that?
What is this?
Nazis don't like that.
We were talking about the Steam sale while you were away. You don't play games on PC, so.
Nah, one day.
Hey, good guy.
PC questions on this.
Oh God. Oh God.
All right, you guys ready to go for the Perfectly Sane Show game show?
Only if you not. Turn yourself up ever so slightly, Jeff. Because you
turn myself up.
Yeah, turn it up, Jeff. Turn it up.
Turn up to 11.
How am I now? How am I?
It didn't change. Maybe it's my end.
There's something wrong with your end, Pete.
I still wish that I could adjust volume individually here. It's so annoying that I can't do that. All right, whatever. We'll make it work.
Am I all audible? Right.
I mean, I can still hear you. You're just lower than everybody else.
I can hear you. Jeff, are there any questions about Muppet Race Mania?
There are not, but maybe for next time, I'll remember that. So, and speaking of which, in the first round here, there is a section called "Were You Paying Attention?" where I am repeating three questions from previous game shows.
Oh, God.
So if you're paying attention, I've blocked
them all out of my memory.
Jesus Christ.
And on top of it, as always, we're kind of on an honor system.
Did you listen to any of the game show episodes? Have you ever heard this before?
I participated in them. I think
he's done every one of them.
Really? Oh, really?
I think so. I think, right, Pete?
I don't know. I've been on at least two of them.
Okay.
One of which I wrote, so.
All right. And you know, we're doing kind of like an honor system. So, like, if you really know the answer, just kind of hang back and let other people guess first. Don't steal answers. If you didn't know it, just admit it.
I admit I know
that. All right. So.
All right.
Are we ready?
We are ready.
There we go. Round one trivia, guys.
So excited.
And there was an E3 theme to this because I wrote it around E3, so we just didn't get. We were going to do it, I think, before E3, but we couldn't make it work. So that's why you'll see that pop up. Question number one, guys: at E3 2011, Mr. Caffeine hosted which publisher's press conference?
Oh, I know this one. Wow,
I actually think all three of us know this one.
Yes, go ahead, Tony.
Ubisoft.
That is correct, right, Jeff?
All right, so give everyone a point, yes.
All right, that's the one question I'm going to get.
All right, hey, everyone's happy. We're off to a good start. Everyone's got a point. In what year, question number two, in what year was the first Beyond Good and Evil 2 teaser trailer shown?
I think I know the answer.
2012.
Okay, Tony.
I think it's 2008.
I was gonna say 2008. It's a long time ago.
Tony and Peter, give yourself a point.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know why I remember that. That's like 10 really obscure.
I think ago. Somebody said something about 10 years around.
Might have been 10 years. Yeah.
Okay, guys, ready for question number three?
No, but yes.
Okay. What classic game used digitized screams from the films First Blood and Conan the Barbarian?
That question is older than me, so.
What classic game used digitized screams from the films First Blood and Conan the Barbarian?
Oh, God.
I'm gonna need you to be a little
Metal Gear. Solid.
Okay.
The first one.
Mortal Kombat.
That's a good guess.
Well, that was the only one I could think of, but I don't know why it would. It's not maybe like Commando. Is that a game? That's I know it's a movie.
I think it is a game. It's wrong.
Well, I mean, like I said, this question is older than I am, so I have no idea what the answer is.
The answer, you guys were all wrong. So just give you some zeros. It's golden. It's Golden Axe.
Oh, okay.
It's a hard one. I would not have guessed
Golden Axe, and weird because I actually played just through all that. Three Golden Axe games and didn't notice any of that.
See, I'm being topical.
Topical.
Well, it's topical to Chris,
like a cream that you put over a sore.
Well, I mean that Genesis Classics Collection did just come out.
All right. Yes. Question number four. Speaking of topical. What 1992 NES game featured two children who go to McDonald Land in order to retrieve Ronald McDonald's magical bag from the Hamburglar?
Jesus Christ. No idea.
Really?
McDonald's Quest.
But now I feel I need to find it.
you'd be out of a lot of money. It's expensive.
Pete, you gotta guess here.
Can you repeat the question for me?
What 1992 NES game featured two children who go to McDonald Land in order to retrieve Ronald McDonald's magical bag from the Hamburglar?
I have fucking no idea. I'll
throw in the extra hint that it is actually a very expensive game now and actually kind of a good 2D platforming game.
Super Star Wars.
It's an excellent guess.
No. Super Mario Brothers 2.
Alright, give yourself zeros.
I don't know what it is.
None of us know what it is.
The answer is McKids.
McKids.
Yes. Do you actually know the answer to this before you looked it up, Jeff?
Absolutely.
Is it good?
Like it's like a good 2D platforming game that is like really expensive because I don't know. It's rare.
You said it's on the Super Nintendo?
It's on the NES.
Oh, on the NES. Okay, I'm looking at the wrong.
So I'm sure you could get an emulator of it. I'm just saying, if you want the actual game, you're talking like hundreds of dollars probably.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm not going to track that down. I'm going to try and find a ROM to play.
Yeah. All right, moving along. Well, there you go. You guys learned something today.
No, didn't learn anything.
Immediately forget this.
It's going to come back in a following episode, just to be clear.
I was kind of hoping there wouldn't be any following episodes.
Question number five. What game featured a parody of Tommy Vercetti from GTA Vice City named Tommy Vermicelli? Oh, I'm sorry, Timmy Vermicelli.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, one more time.
What game featured a parody of Tommy Vercetti from Vice City who was named Timmy Vermicelli?
The Vice City was what, PS2?
Yes.
Yeah, Vice City.
And this game had a character that was, you know, like a parody of him.
Saints Row?
I guess.
Huh.
I have no idea what the actual answer is.
No, because that would have been, like, Saints Row 1 and 2, though, were not, like, parody games. They were, like, competitors, right? So.
Yeah.
Well, right, but that doesn't mean you don't have a parody character.
Sure, but, like, I'd like, if this were 3, I would, like, immediately have jumped on that, too. Rockstar's Table Tennis?
I'm gonna go with Saints Row 2.
Okay. Tony.
I was the one who said Saints Row.
Yeah.
Okay. The answer is Driver 3. So give yourself a
Driver 3.
Driver.
Yeah. 3. That classic game.
Is it? Is it really?
Is that a PS2 game or a PS3 game? I don't even remember. I wrote this damn thing. I think it's PS3.
Driver 2 was PS1. Was it on ice for that long? Was the series
I
on
think
ice?
So, yeah. Speaking of on ice for a long time, question number 6.
We're going to put the question on ice? Great. Awesome.
Crackdown 3 was first announced at Microsoft's E3 press conference in which year? And by the way, we answered this on our E3 episode.
One more time. When was the announcement?
Yes.
Of the 360 or the Xbox One?
Crackdown 3.
Oh, Crackdown 3. Okay, I'm sorry. I missed the... we did talk about this.
I remember because I think it was on our post or pre E3 discussion. We were talking about it, and I had already written this episode, and someone literally said the answer.
Okay, I'm pretty sure I know.
Okay. Well, who's less sure.
I'm gonna say 2014.
Yeah, that's my guess as well.
Okay.
2013. I'll be contrarian.
Okay. Contrarians lose.
Damn it.
And Chris and Pete give yourself a point.
I have no idea.
I don't remember it being there at the Xbox One launch year. Like, because 2013 would have been the E3 of the Xbox One coming out.
Yeah.
I remember it being after Titanfall. So, during that first, it would have been the first full year of it being out.
It's crazy that that is that long ago.
Yeah.
All right, move on, guys.
Do we have
hard one here? Hard one here. What legendary arcade shooter used music as a weapon?
Wait, what does arcade shooter even mean? As in,
it was a game. Yeah, it was an arcade game where you pointed a gun at a screen and shot. Yes,
music
uses music as a weapon. This is an easy one for me.
And it was a light gun game.
Yeah.
But it was a light gun game. Like
it was a light gun. It was a light gun game. Yeah, absolutely. I think it was a mounted light gun game. Like it was like a mounted machine gun.
Right.
Music. Fuck. I don't know.
Yeah, like that. The first thing that jumped into my head was the Journey arcade game. But that's not a light gun game.
Okay. Man, I think you guys are all fucked.
Yes, we are.
The answer is Revolution X.
Huh.
And it was starring Aerosmith, and you shot CDs out of your gun.
Jeez.
You guys don't remember that?
No,
huge.
It
was also probably older than me.
It was 1994. No, I do remember it, Jeff.
Slipped your mind.
That's not what came to my the name just is so generic.
But that was like even if you didn't know the name, I probably would have gave it to you at some point if you guys were able to guess the band.
Guess the band, yeah.
But it was Aerosmith, like Revolution X, and like yeah, you were like shooting CDs. It's totally cheesy and stupid, but it was kind of like a big deal when it came out. I seem to remember anyways. And that was like the tagline, like music is the weapon. You know.
Anyways, just to cycle back one.
Yeah.
Driver 3 was a PlayStation 2 era game.
Okay. So I was wrong on that. Well, I was right on the important part, the answer.
Yes.
All right. So we have one more regular trivia question.
All right.
So let's just get to it. Trivia question number 8. What classic PlayStation game began its life on Nintendo 64? But had to be canceled because it would have required 13 N64 cartridges.
And it became a PlayStation game?
Yes.
Final Fantasy VII? Yeah.
Chris and Tony, that's your answer?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the only game I could have thought of, but I don't want to bandwagon it, so if it's right, I don't need to take the point.
It's correct. Okay. That's correct.
Wow.
Okay, so we still have three more questions in this round. You want to say something, Chris?
In the trivia round? Or...
Yeah.
Okay. And how many questions have we done?
We've done 8.
Oh, okay.
So we have 3 more, but these are, were you paying attention, as in these are recycled.
Previous questions, got it.
So you should be able to, everyone should be able to get all these. It should be a free 3 points. Question number 9.
I'm not going to get any of these.
I was going to say, if Tony didn't get them before, please.
I don't even remember what we talked about on this podcast.
I get asked like 3 questions ago, you'd be like, I don't know.
I don't know. Driver 2?
All right.
Oh man.
All right, go ahead, Jeff.
All right. True or false? Custer's Revenge from 1982 is the first video game to feature sexually explicit content.
False.
True.
I'm going to say true.
All right. Pete gets a point.
Oh, no.
The answer is actually Soft Porn Adventure from 1981.
I didn't actually know which was the first, but I thought...
You don't have to know.
You didn't have to know. You just...
Well, no. Yeah, my feeling was that it was one of the first games to be, like, super controversial, and it's, like, sort of...
Also, Soft Porn Adventure was, like, text-based. It was, like, a text-based adventure.
Oh, weird. So okay,
It's, you know... It's kind of more like word porn or whatever you call that. There's a word for that, right? Porn.
Okay.
Anyways, moving on.
Up content. Word porn.
I'm just going to keep moving along. Just gonna keep going. And in the 1990s, Rockstar North developed a game with Nintendo of America for Super Nintendo. What was the name of this game?
Shit. This game, it starts with a D, doesn't it?
I don't know. I think I know what you're thinking of.
Yeah, was it the company? I thought it was the company that was before Rockstar, that like later became Rockstar.
It was a company before Rockstar, but it was Rockstar North, and they developed it. You know it? All right, so you hold back, Chris, and let the other ones guess.
I don't know the name, but I know the fucking company name, I think.
Yeah, the company name started with a D. The game itself, I'm not going to say what it starts with, but it was developed with Nintendo of America for Super Nintendo by what would later become really Rockstar North.
Yes, it's really very, cool. Very bizarre.
Yes.
But it's like a...
If that helps you at all.
No, it doesn't, but I was going to say it's like a... Almost, I want to say it's like a hockey game, but I don't think that's right.
No.
I can see it. I can kind of see like... No, maybe not. But
no, my name is not right. It's fine. Yes,
Tony.
I have no idea.
Chris,
it's called. Is it Uni Racers or Uni Racers?
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, it's a racing game.
Yeah, it's a weird, but it's like they're unicycles.
Yeah.
Oh man, really, I remember. Awesome. I remember this game now too.
And
it's really cool.
And there's controversy about it too, because. It's something with Pixar, like, and there's a reason that they can't make another one, or
really, something with like Toy Story or something.
Yeah, something. I'm not entirely like I remember hearing about it on the Giant Bombcast though, and there's a reason why Uni Racers never got a sequel or and why it's not on like collections or anything either.
It's really great. Try it out, guys. It's like a 2D, like 2D side-scrolling racing game. So you play like split screen with someone else, and you're going through like 2D levels, almost like kind of like Sonic the Hedgehog, but you're like on a unicycle, and it's really good. Like me and my friend tried it out a couple years ago. Like we were in his garage and we tried it out, and like we played through the whole game. It was so fun. It was like 30 something levels. Anyways, so one more in the where you pay attention round, Chris. Did you give yourself a point for Uniracers?
I did.
Okay. Final question in trivia. What video game featured live action footage of nude strippers on Xbox and GameCube, but was censored for its PS2 release?
Is it that, like, biking game?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
XXX Motocross or something like that?
No.
I can't remember the name of the title.
Tony, do you know?
I have no idea.
It's a, that was it. BMX Triple X?
That's what it is, yeah. Shit.
Matt Hoffman?
Do we give Pete the point here? I don't know. No, it's not Matt Hoffman. No, Matt Hoffman had like a legit...
That was a different game, right? But it was BMX Triple X.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I don't know why I know that. I never played that game.
Because it was a question on a previous episode. You were paying attention. You got those points. I think
that's exactly why it is.
I think Chris got... Oh, no, he did not get...
I didn't get the first one. The
Hester's Revenge one. All right. So what are our totals at the end of round one?
Are we giving Pete the point for the last one?
I'm going to give it to him.
All right. So Pete and I both have 5, and Tony has 3, according to my tally here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone's still in the race easily here. Round 2 is for 2 points each, and this is Metacritic Masters. I'm going to read you a quote from a Metacritic review, and you tell me the game.
All right,
so Game Informer said of this game, "Its biggest assets are the relationship building and expansive branching paths. I keep coming back to explore its variations. Not only are they fascinating, but I cared about where I left these characters. Their overall message about technology and our future lingers long after the credits roll.
God.
Make me wonder how I'll handle my relationship with technology as it takes us to new places."
Is this too human?
If that's your answer, I will accept that.
The problem with like a game review is that like I feel like we need a decade range or something like.
These will all be within the last 2 years.
How long?
He said last 2 years.
Part of me honestly wanted to say Mass Effect Andromeda, but...
Technology. I'm drawing a blank.
Relationship with technology.
You guys want me to read it again? I can read it again.
Yeah, one more time.
Its biggest assets are the relationship building and expansive branching paths. I keep coming back to explore its variations. Not only are they fascinating, but I cared about where I left these characters. Their overall message about technology and our future lingers long after the credits roll, making me wonder how I'll handle my relationship with technology as it takes us to new places. And that's from Game Informer.
Ugh.
It's either that or like a Telltale game.
Maybe.
I don't know, but I've lost interest. So
I want to say Life is Strange, but it doesn't really technology based. Yeah.
Guess something. It's it's 2 points, so you don't lose anything for guessing wrong.
All right, what is it?
Well, is that? You're saying Life is Strange? Does anyone else have
I said Too Human. I
said Mass Effect Andromeda.
Okay. The answer is Detroit Become Human.
Ooh.
Oh, that's actually what I meant. Damn it.
I knew that's what you meant, but I'm not going to give it to you. I'm sorry, man.
No, that's just fine.
Because Too Human is a game.
Too Human is a game, but...
is a game, but not from the last 2 years.
Yeah, definitely not from the last 2 years.
All right.
I knew it was a game with the word human in the title. God damn it.
I felt like that one, like, someone would have got it, but it was so funny because you guys were all like, ugh. Like,
I was literally thinking exactly of the game that it was.
I think you could give Tony the title.
Fine, give Tony 2 points.
If you can give me the point for, I didn't even get the title right. I just could think of the game out loud, yeah.
You guys all have 5 points. Here we go. All right, a surprise. IGN said, a surprise masterpiece. Its 2D platforming is some of the best and toughest in Super Meat Boy, with levels that are as challenging to figure out as they are satisfying
I'm gonna say Celeste.
Okay.
The end is nigh.
Okay.
I gotta agree with Chris here. Celeste.
They want to pick the same one because he just said it, but yeah.
That's correct. Celeste is correct.
No, I know. Yeah.
So 2 points each to
Super Meat Boy comparison was what.
There's usually a key to unlocking these quotes. Like I pick them, you know what I mean? Like I think about what I'm picking here.
Right.
A little bit. All right. Now this one is from V Games. I don't know what the fuck that publication is, but anyways, they say a game that was made by fans, but has the word professional written all over it. The old levels feel fresh and new. The new levels are absolutely amazing. The music is one of the best things in this game, and there's just so much to do, it feels overwhelming at times.
All right, read it again.
A game that was made by fans, but has the word professional written all over it. The old levels feel fresh and new. The new levels are absolutely amazing. The music is one of the best things in this game, and there's just so much to do that it feels overwhelming at times. Ugh. I mean, if you know anything about the game, like the quote gives away everything.
I have an answer.
No. Okay. Well, I'll save you until everyone feels like they know theirs. Pete, do you have any feelings here?
Nah, I think once you say it, I'll be kicking myself for it, but I can't think
probably, of it. Probably, because, I mean, yeah, the quote totally tells you everything you know. Tony?
I don't know what it is. I have no idea.
Chris, what do you think it is?
I'm going to say Sonic Mania.
Give yourself 2 points. That's absolutely correct. That's smart. That game was made by people that were fans of the series.
It had old levels and new levels.
Yeah, at first I was thinking that Metroid game was Axiom Verge.
Oh yeah.
But then when you were like, it has old levels and new levels, it was like, I think that's Sonic Mania because that has old levels and remix levels.
Yeah, I guess that first line could be read by as an Axiom Verge type thing. But like, yeah. All right. Anyways, last one here. Let's see how this one goes. This is from Metacritic user Alpha X Chaos.
Yeah.
I love user reviews.
My brother and I were pretty hyped for this game since we enjoyed playing the first one. I was hoping this game would be the game Xbox brings out and says, look, we can make a good game too. But boy, that was wishful thinking. Nothing but bugs on top of bugs. Graphics are dumbed down for a AAA game. This is another No Man's Sky and Watch Dogs rolled into one. I own an Xbox One X, PS4, Switch, and PC, so don't say I'm just a fanboy damaging the game and console. But at this point, I'm done with Xbox. Almost 5 years, and they can't even bring out a heavy hitter.
All right, so Pete, you're saying Sea of Thieves?
Can you read the very, very first sentence of that quote again?
My brother and I were pretty hyped for this game since we enjoyed playing the first one.
Okay, so never mind. It's obviously that's... Okay. See, I thought you were talking about another No Man's Sky, and I immediately moved into No Man's Sky without even considering that it's actually a sequel.
Crackdown 2.
Okay.
Well, no, but he said all these reviews are from the last 2 years.
Oh, that's right. Never mind then.
So what Xbox exclusive... Has Xbox released a game?
Yep.
Like...
This year...
It was... Oh. Wait. It said stupid game that became free to play. God, what was that game called? I don't know. I can't remember the name, and I didn't play the game. But it was like bringing back a game from like 10 years ago.
Well, this is Battlefront 2, isn't it?
I think Chris knows what it is because I'm laughing at you. It's you guys are cracking me up because everyone already forgot this game came out. That's the best part about it.
right, you read an entire essay. Can you read like a little
this
bit
more? This game was relevant when I wrote this question. Let me put it this way. All right, I'll give you a chance. My brother and I were
pretty hyped. Oh, fuck. You just gave it away. All right. That's not fair.
All right. Man. All right. You guys, are you good?
It's State of Decay 2.
Yeah. No. I literally just gave it away. I could.
Chris, did you know it that whole time?
Yeah. When you said, when you got up to like, I knew it wasn't Sea of Thieves because you said it was a sequel. And then as you went along and said that it was like, dumbed down graphics, worse than the first one, like everything that I would say about State of Decay 2.
So that was Chris. I'm saying, right? Like, I don't think anyone else got that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Tony, did you get it?
You gave it away at the end, so I didn't get it from the quote.
By saying it was relevant when he wrote the
question.
Yeah,
no, that kind of just lined everything.
That game had just come out in May, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's up to you guys. Call it how you want, because now we're going to the round that really matters.
I mean, you're the one who does it, man. You
got your shit. I'm going to be generous. I'm going to give the points.
Oh.
All right.
So, what are our totals going into this, and keep in mind, in the last round here, you can bet whatever you want on every answer.
All right. So, Pete, did you get any in that round?
I don't think so.
I didn't have you. I just wanted to make sure. Pete's at 5, Tony is at 9, and I'm at 11.
All right, guys. So we have, this time, we have 4 musical selections. You can bet any points that you have. So what does Pete have right now?
5.
You can bet 5 each time and come out the winner, and you guys can fuck it up. You know, it could go any way. Y'all ready for this?
Go, go, go.
All right, here we go.
This is the music round?
Oh, shit. Yeah. All right, hopefully this all works out. That was the first 30 seconds of the main theme to what game? I'll give you an extra clue, guys. I warned you a year ago I was going to use this theme on Twitter. When I think Mike Drucker shared this theme, and I like, you know, tweet.
Yeah, but you're always getting like banned and shit on Twitter, so we don't see half the things.
It's probably true. But I like quote retweeted this song. He like shared it with everybody. I like quote retweeted it and said, "This is coming on a future episode of the show."
All right,
and good luck. You guys are fucked. I, you know, unless you know it, probably wouldn't bet a lot.
I'm just not going to bet anything because I have no idea what.
That's right. I'm betting nothing. So
you can bet zero and take a guess, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to bet zero, and I'm going to say Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze.
It is RoboCop for the Game Boy.
Glad I did not bet anything.
And the best part is, like, that theme is, like, really kind of beautiful. Like, it has nothing to do with RoboCop. So.
No, not. I would never have guessed RoboCop.
All right, so. Points stay the same going into our next song, which is also beautiful, in my opinion.
Oh. Okay. I'm betting 5 points.
Hold on, hold on.
I know, I'm just saying, I'm putting that out there.
All right. So Pete's going last because I think he knows it.
I know exactly what it is.
Anyone else care to take a guess and wager some points?
I have no idea, so I'm not betting anything.
Yeah, I have no clue.
Pete, you're betting 5 points?
Yeah, it's Celeste.
And Pete, you are correct. That is
nice. It is a beautiful track.
Yeah, it is the song First Steps from Celeste. You'll hear that in like the first level. Alright, guys. Got two more songs left. So what's the point?
Pete just passed me, right?
Pete now has 10 points. Yeah.
And what do you guys have?
Tony has 9 and I have 11.
Alright. Here we go, guys. Next song.
I bet 0 points. Pete,
you sounded like you like knew that one too.
No. I said something because whenever you did, you moved your phone or something away from the mic, and we lost like 3 seconds of music. But
oh, I'm sorry.
I was about to catch you, but then you moved back, and it was fine again. So
I have no idea.
Yes, I bet 0 points.
I thought one of you might know this. I wouldn't know who, but the answer is actually the opening level of Ikaruga. All right. Well, it would have helped you.
Yeah, if we had played the game, it would have helped.
All right. This is the last one right here. This is for all the marbles. All
right.
This game can go any which way from here. For all the marbles.
I'm just going to hold steady since I have the lead.
Sure.
All right.
Can you play it again, but this time,
yeah,
like, keep the audio level consistent?
I'm trying to. I think it mostly has to do with what I'm using here, but... How do I sound right now? Does that sound good?
Yeah. Jeez.
It's the main menu music for classic PlayStation 2, GameCube/Xbox game. And you kick yourself in the ass if you don't win the game by betting it all on this answer.
Well, considering how I have no idea what this game is, it doesn't matter. I'll take my third place finish. I accept it.
Chris!
Oh, I can hold out here until I find out what.
Okay, you're at 11, right? All right, Pete.
Yeah.
I don't think I actually know.
Fuck.
You said GameCube, though, right?
It was on all three systems.
Yeah. That's the one that's throwing me off.
Yeah. So I almost, there were several PS2 games I could have applied that to that were only on PS2.
Well, at first, like, I thought it was a God of War game.
I thought it was
Bayonetta. All right, here we go. I'm going to bet 4 points.
Okay.
Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance.
Tony, you just won the game.
Yeah, that's where I was leaning. That's fair. But because like I, especially when you were like, you guys will have to get it. Like
Jeff. Well, I just, to me, it's like, no, I'm just like, if you played the game ever, it's like such iconic music. Like every time you turn on a PS2, you're bam,
bam, bam. Nah, I never played it.
Like it was like every time.
It's funny that you like called it iconic though, because like the first thing that I thought of was like, it sounds like a God of War. It sounds like a God of War.
I mean, yeah, it does. It sounds like, yeah, like anything like that. Yeah.
But yeah, you said GameCube, right? I didn't realize Baldur's Gate was on GameCube.
Absolutely. I played it through on GameCube at least 3 times, probably.
Huh.
Yeah.
I did not realize.
It's definitely on there. It runs better on GameCube than it does on Xbox, strangely enough. Because I played it on all 3 systems, and I remember it on PS2 and GameCube like running way better than on Xbox.
I think it might have been... I own it on PlayStation 2 and Xbox, but I never realized it was on GameCube. I've never even seen it on GameCube.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I still have it on GameCube, but I definitely did back in the day. I don't know. I would just buy that game for everything. I would just buy it. Like, I didn't even have a PS2. I would buy copies of that game and bring it to my friends and be like, let's play this. And I'm like, here, you keep it. We'll play this when I come over. So... But yeah, so if you played me that music, I would know it right away. So yeah, I understand it might be hard for, but it has like a certain sound to it, like, you know,
yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, you know, like, it's one of those types of games.
And now that I know what it is, like, I can definitely see it as part of like a Dungeons and Dragons type game. Like,
yeah. Damn, look at Tony with steel.
Yeah, coming from
taking
behind.
The win.
No, I'll be perfectly honest. It never gave me any chance to finish, but I would have gotten it.
Sure. I don't know.
You're just like, Pete, you got it? I was like, maybe. And
then Tony swooped in. He was going to take it as soon as he got like Celeste. When we went to Ikaruga, I thought he made a sound like he was going to get it. And I was like, oh, shit. If he gets Ikaruga, it's over. But that was interesting. All right, cool.
All right. What was
the final scores?
13 for Tony, 11 for me, and 10 for Pete.
So, damn. Close. All right. Well,
and I think I don't know. I mean, I know you said you made it harder.
Yeah, this one seemed a little easier.
Yeah. Yeah. Funny. I mean, we all got answers.
Well, this one had more opportunities. This one was longer. Like, there's more questions in every category. So. Maybe that helped.
Possibly. Tony and I did pretty good in the Metacritic one too. So
yeah, sad music one, man. Gotta watch
always,
out.
Always serves me off.
That's the one you get like swing the game.
What?
Now I need to go find this Mick Kids.
Yeah, check it out. I've actually not played it, but I've heard it's actually pretty decent. I forgot what game it copies. It might be like kind of like Super Mario Brothers 2, maybe? I don't know exactly, but it's like something else, and it's pretty good, I guess. But to get the actual cart is like $800 or some crazy shit.
That's not happening.
Yeah. But for like a promotional product, like a lot of those, like some of them back then were not that bad, like was that like Cool Spot? Those games were like okay for what they were, you know.
Yeah, they like, you know.
Remember Cool Spot?
Yeah,
I like Cool Spot.
There was Cool Spot. There was Yonoid.
The cool thing too is like, if you got those games on the different systems, they were different. Like the Super Nintendo version was totally different than the Sega version. In a lot of cases, like Aladdin is a good one.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, they were made by 2 different companies, I think. Actually,
yeah. Well, I they would do that too. I think with some of the like, I think Cool Spot is pretty damn different between the two. It wasn't crazy. I want that shit back. I want crazy licensed bullshit.
Was Cool Spot? Was that the 7-Up?
Yeah. You can be like on surfboards and shit.
Stupid game.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was cool back then because
it was. Like, oh. I mean, it was fun. It was a
deep, actually like
little platformer.
Like it actually had like I remember like pretty good graphics and shit for that time. Like they looked cool. Like yeah, I don't know. Weird times.
Anyway, I am going to be on vacation next week, so I don't know if you guys are going to get together to record. But
excuse me.
But I may just cut that and put that out for next week's episode.
That's all we need.
I actually like think you just end the whole episode right there.
Right, just
hard cut, like in the middle of your sentence.
We don't even have an actual ending. It's just Jeff ends it. So there may be a show next week.
There will not be a show next week.
I mean, I'm on vacation too, so probably not.
No.
So there will not be a show next week. We've just talked this out amongst ourselves right now, and there will not be a show. Jeff,
one day we'll be back. Good night.